Well, first of all, I'd like to say, JJ, thank you for the song, and I thank you for your testimony as well. It's good to see a young man growing in the Lord. Amen. Got a kick out of the pastor this morning when he talked about what was a good time to him was taking his wife when they were young and going to the store and drinking Kool-Aid and popcorn. I got a big kick out of that. It reminded me of when I was first with Janine. I had a cruddy old car, rust bucket, four-door, the muffler under it, the pipe was held together by a Coke can with a clamp on it, and I'd be driving down the road and didn't have a lot of money, and that thing would come off, and you'd hear it sparking underneath the car, so I'd have to go in the middle of traffic, pull over and reach under there with a handkerchief, try to push it back up and tighten that clamp and everything, so I'd just go on a little date with my favorite girl. And it was kind of embarrassing. It was nice going out with her at that time, though, because I always got half of whatever she ordered. But after I got married, I never saw that again, just so you guys know that, okay? And boys, they're trying to trick you if they don't look like they eat a lot when they go out to eat. So I learned that a long time ago. Well, we've talked about love for the last couple of weeks. We've talked about the loving our parents, loving our spouses, loving our children, loving the church, loving Christ. I want to talk about a different kind of love tonight. Loving your enemies. Loving your enemies. And if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. And before we read, I'd like to tell you a little story of an older man who was seeing an older woman. Neither had ever been married. Neither, and they were both getting up in years. But the man was kind of affectionate toward the lady. He was scared and he was nervous to tell her how he felt. But one day when they were together and they were having a really good time, he looked at her with all the braveness he had left in him and he said, "Let's get married." She threw up her hands and said, "That's a great idea, but who in the world would have us?" Poor guy. His last shot to get married, and he blew it. He blew it. You know, declaring our love to someone that we care about is sometimes hard to do. But it's even more difficult when they're our enemies, when they don't like us. And so I'd like to read Matthew here, chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, as we get challenged by your word tonight, encourage us, strengthen us. Lord, help us to have a desire to not only want to be a blessing and a testimony to those that are around us that we love and people that we care about and people that we want to see saved, but Lord, help us to have a testimony to our enemies. Show us how to do that in your word. Make us strong, dear Heavenly Father, so that we'll be willing to witness to these kind of people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to talk about God's love for just a moment and mention a few things. First of all, I want us to understand, and I probably most of you do, that it's a steadfast and endless love. It never ends. He hates no thing that he ever created. According to the scripture, God has feelings and affection. And in special revelation, which is the written word of God, he declares his love as strong as he does his existence. In 1 John 4:8, he says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, For God is love. If a person doesn't know how to love, he doesn't know God. The person's view of God is distorted. God's love to men, even sinful men, is strongly declared in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can turn there if you like, but I'm going to quote to you Isaiah 63:9. It says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. And it says here, God in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. In this verse, we read about the kindness of the Lord. Israel was a stubborn and superstitious and idolatrous people, yet Christ's love and pity saved them from all of that. It was because of his love. In John 3:16, the great love verse of the New Testament, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has loved from Adam to whoever is going to be the last person born on this earth. That's how strong God's love is. He's loved everybody. We look around and we make fun of people sometimes, and we don't like our enemies too much sometimes and everything, but we got to realize God loves everyone. We need to realize that I don't care how bad a person is. We could name somebody that was just awful when he lived. Is hell for eternity really a fair punishment when we're talking about that? God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. They choose to go to hell, of course, but he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He loves everyone. He loves everyone. So I want to look at Matthew, if we can, verse 43. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. We see here a rabbinical tradition that one ought to love the neighbor next door. Maybe somebody adjourning to his property. But it was okay to hate the Samaritans who was the neighbor of Judea. That's sad. That's sad. But praise God, that kind of thinking is wrong. Jesus showed he loved all people at the cross. From beginning to end, Jesus loves everyone. His love is not matched by anyone. He shows he loves the just and the unjust every time it rains. And in the next verse, our Savior tells us to love our enemies. Now, I'm thinking this. If I can learn how to love my enemies, I should be able to love anyone. It makes sense to me. If I can love those who despise me, then I should be able to love anybody. Anybody. God is love, and we need to know and learn how to love people. We need to get back to that person God loves. That person needs to be saved. Somehow, I've got to lead that person to Christ. And we're going to find out how we're supposed to do that when it comes to our enemies. If you look at Matthew 5:44, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How do we love enemies? That's a very good question. The passage makes it clear that one doesn't have to create artificial feelings to love someone. Love here is expressed in the art of giving. Giving. God's asking us to give here by blessing, by doing good, by praying. You're giving some time and thought about this person, this enemy, this person of concern. My wife likes, or I should say, she likes it when I tell her I love her. She likes it when she's coming across the house and I'll grab her and I'll give her a hug. She can't hardly ever go by me without me wanting to give her a hug. But you know what? I'm getting down there and I start hugging her and I'll feel those two taps like they do in wrestling. Like, you know, when you give up, that means let me go. And so I have to let her go, okay? But the truth is, most of that benefits me. Most of that benefits me. I've learned this about her. She likes it when I do the little things. When I do the little things. Not everybody's the same that way, but she likes it when I do the little things. When I make the bed, or when you help with dinner, or I'll say, hey, look, I'll go buy the groceries. She don't have to get dressed up and do all that stuff and go. She says, well, really, would you do that for me? Sure, I'll do it. Or maybe just take the initiative to sweep the house or something extra like that. That's what makes her happy. So, what about those who are not so easy to love? Like those who despise or even hate the Lord. We need to think and pray about these things and figure out how we can show them God's love. There's a guy at work, where I work. He doesn't love God at all. He wishes they would get rid of God and everything on this earth. That's the kind of person he is. When I'm around him, and I've always been around a lot of people like this, and I'll probably seem like I'm repeating myself a few times today in some of my illustrations. But when I'm around him, the swearing perks up. The using God's name in vain sometimes comes through his lips. And sometimes I'll walk by in a nice, polite way, and I'll say, you sure do swear a lot, and I'll just leave it alone. But I also go up to him because I have a goal with him, and that is to witness to him just before I retire. That's right down the road. But I go up to him, and I ask him about, I know where he lives, so I ask him about his place. I ask him about a few companies there. I ask him different questions all the time. And he starts to talk to me. But most of the time, he just doesn't want to have anything to do with me. But if I can get him alone for a few minutes, he talks to me. When I see some other people come into the room, I know it's time to leave because he's going to talk to them, and he's probably going to get foul. But I have an idea that I'm probably going to be able to witness to him later on. I'm trying to salvage some kind of relationship with him where he'll listen to me when I get ready to leave. Make them see that you love Christ. And I'd like to remind all of us that we were all once the enemies of Christ. Don't let people that seem like they're angry and hate God and don't care, don't let them put any fear into you, scare you. I said, they need the Lord. They're reaching out for something, but right now they're lashing out at God. And you represent God, and sometimes they're going to lash out at you. Turn to Romans chapter 5 first. Remember, we were once enemies of God. Stay here in your place, but turn to Romans chapter 5. Verses 8 through 10, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus' love surpassed any that has ever been manifested among men. So we can have eternal life. Praise God for his awesome love. His awesome love. In verse 10, we see the words, we shall be saved by his life. You know, that's important to me because Jesus went to the cross and he died for me. Jesus gave his life for me. You know what he's asking us in the scriptures that we're reading in Matthew? He's asking us to give a little bit of ourselves to the enemies. That seems like a fair deal. He's not asking me to die on a cross. He's not asking me to die at all. But all he wants from me is to give a little bit of time to my enemies, to talk to them, try to win them to Christ, to show them God's love, and not say, you know what? I've got all kinds of problems, all kinds of things going on in my life. I already got to deal with my kids, my grandkids, my this, my that, and everything. I'm just staying away from people that are just hateful. No, we need to share the gospel with them as well. It's important. God's not asking us to do much. But we need to look and we need to quit what we're doing. And we have people that don't like us. We need to pray for them. And we need to consider the fact that they may have an eternity in hell one day. And that is for eternity. That's sad. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It says, "Bless them that curse you." This has the idea of a person who wants to see believers suffer. They utterly seem to detest us and the God we worship. They want bad things for us. Bad things. I kind of think of Trump when I see him up there preaching and everything. He sticks his hands out there somehow and kind of moves. They want bad things for us or something like that. I see him saying that. But the world, the enemy of God, wants bad things for us. What does God say we are to do? He says this, we are to bless them. What? People don't like us and we have to bless them? What does that mean exactly? Well, I'll tell you this, it means we are to speak well of them and kindly to them. Boy, that's a big task. When somebody's cursing your God, that's a big task. When someone said, you can tell, doesn't want you to be around them, that's a big task. When they say mean things to you, he wants us to bless them. Say good things about them. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, "And labor, working with your own hands, being reviled," he says, "we bless." We bless. "Being persecuted, we suffer it." We suffer it. I remember being in a room with a Mormon in the military, and I started to witness to him. And I started telling him about Jesus of the Bible and not the Jesus of Mormonism. And he got really upset with me, and I was just being nice. I was being polite and everything else. And he got upset with me, and he says, "Man, if you're going to persecute me, I'm going to leave." I said, "Young man, there's no persecution going on here. Read your Bible. You'll see what persecution is all about." And so he went downstairs and told me he went in another room, came back, said he was going to another room. He didn't want to be with me. But, folks, God's not asking much from us. It has been said, enemies are never truly conquered until they become your friends. That should be the goal. Making your enemies your friends. Not in a sense that you hang out with them and go places with them and everything, but make them your friends at work. I have people, we all respect each other at work. They're so different. Mostly I work with lost people. But we're there for each other. We're there for each other. They're there. Right there with me. It doesn't matter what our belief system is. We're there. We have a purpose, and that's for nobody to get hurt and for us to go home unscathed. And folks, we have a purpose to love our enemies as much as we do anybody else. We are to compliment. To do this, we must take our focus off their hate and think of the big picture. They need Jesus Christ. Find something good to say about them, but don't ever lie. Don't lie about people. Pastor, I love it when you preach a message in 35, 40 minutes, and you fill it up. There's not a lot of fluff. You just give us what we need. And I like that. Amen? I like that. I've got the man with the famous name right there. Dick Clark. Now, the young ones may not know who I'm talking about. But the other Dick Clark, I don't know if he's saved. Brother, but I know you are, and I know I'm going to see you in heaven. Praise the Lord. And there's Jason Wills. Jason, I don't know if you know this or not, but your dad's kind of proud of you. And Natalie, the way you raised your kids. You can go on. Appreciate you because you always remember people's birthdays and you care. And I'm glad you got your reward this morning. You can go around. I could go to every one of you. I know for a fact. You know, I came over and saw you one day because people here said nice things about you. I've heard other officers that don't even come here tell me good things about you. But you can find something nice to say about everyone. You just have to try. You have to get focused off of all the cares of the world and get away from this flesh and look at people like God would look at them, and you can make things happen. Even your enemies. Even your enemies. If we look past, like I said, the ugliness And look at what God sees. These people may consider Christ as their Savior. Think about Stephen for just a minute in the book of Acts, the latter part of Acts. He's getting stoned, and he has enough awareness to say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He's being stoned by his enemies, people that don't like him. And he sees heaven, and he sees Jesus on the right hand of the throne. He says, Lord, forgive him. I don't even know if the man even felt any of the stones that were being hit him by that time. I believe that he was probably right. He's seen the heavenly host, and that's all he could see, and he probably didn't even care what was coming at him at that time. But Stephen had enough love in his heart to say, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's amazing. We have to bless our enemies. Matthew 5:44 again. It says, do good to them that hate you, that hate you. Now, these are people that treat you a little worse than they treat others. They also detest your very existence. These people hate. But you know what? I want to look at a good example from our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to look at 21 through 24. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was revealed, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteousness, who his own self bare our sins in his body on a tree, that lay being dead in two sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Boy, Jesus is the best example of the way we should act when we're being persecuted, when we're being hounded, when our enemies are showing us disgust, when they're using God's name in vain. Some of you have probably been in the same situations that I had. You go into a room and somebody just starts flaring up to see if they can get you going. We must strive to be mature Christians. In verse 46 and 48 of our reading, it says, For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That means be mature. If we don't love our enemies, I'm telling you, the Bible's saying, you're not there yet. You're not mature yet in the Lord. Christians, doing good is the only thing that your enemies cannot destroy or understand. And if you take God out of good, by the way, you have nothing. You have nothing. We have to do all this in the Lord. In the Lord. Matthew 7:17. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I was in the military and out in Oklahoma, Vance Air Force Base. And they had a racquetball league. And of course, if it's a sport and if it's round and you could play it back then, I was full game. I don't care if it's ping pong. I don't care what it was. I would play it. And so I joined the racquetball league. And there was a guy named Master Sergeant Cole. He was in my squadron, and he played in the league. And there were four of us that were really good. And we pretty much stayed up there the whole years I was there. And if you won, and you second and third would play, and the winner would get to play the guy in first. And I could never beat this officer that was in first. He beat me every time. And if you've ever played racquetball, I mean, he puts the ball about that far off the floor all the time. I mean, I'd pretty much have to be up in front of the wall there to ever hit those shots that he would hit back. But I could beat the other guys sometimes. So it was us two or three always fighting to get up there. But when I came there, and I let everybody know I know the Lord, and I talked about Jesus and everything, Cole hated the Lord. And he didn't like me. And I would go up to work up to the office. He was administration, and I'd see him. He'd just do the same thing. He'd start swearing, saying there's no God, just doing all kinds of stuff. He was rude to me when I tried to get paperwork, but I just ignored him. But we played racquetball together. He was a little nicer. When I got, I started praying for him and asking the Lord what I should do. And that's when I came to these verses, and that's when I just got the idea, okay, I've got to start just being nice to the people that don't like me. Don't get in a battle with them. Because, you know, when I went to high school, we got upset. We said, I'll meet you after school out in the back. The guys would all circle, big circle, and we'd get in the middle, and we'd just start punching it out. Then we became good friends after that. But that's the way it worked. But when I was leaving and got my orders, Cole actually came to where I worked and said, hey, appreciate all the battles that we had in racquetball. I want to say this. You have a good testimony. If I was ever going to think about the Lord, you're the one that would make me think about the Lord. And I said to Cole, I said, Cole, I'm going to pray, because I love you, that God will make you, put you in a situation where you're going to realize He is all there is, and you need to trust Him as your personal Savior. And we shook hands, and that was it. But you know what? I didn't make Him my enemy. I didn't attack Him. I just did the same thing that I always tried to do, and that's just be nice, say the right things, show a little interest in them. That's all we've got to do with people. Matthew 5:44, it says, pray for them which spitefully use you and persecute you. That's the third thing God asks us to do when it comes to our enemies. This is anyone who insults you, slanders you, or persists doing you harm, especially spiritually or physically. God commands us to pray for them. In Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. And the Lord was praying for them who are mocking Him and watching Him die violently. If I wanted the wicked to be saved, I must be concerned about them. A clergyman was walking down the street, and he noticed a man breaking rocks. And when kneeling, and when he saw him, he kneeled down so that he could be more efficient at breaking the rocks. When the pastor walked by, he saluted the man and said, I wish I could break the stony hearts of my hearers in my church. You know what the man said to him? It was pretty wise. He told the pastor, perhaps you do not, he said the pastor, I mean, told the pastor, perhaps you do not work on your knees. We need to pray for the God to move in the on people in our lives, and that includes our enemies. So we must love people enough to pray for them. Three ways to love the enemies. We need to bless them, say the right things. We need to do good things for them. If you're at work and you've got somebody across the way that doesn't like you or doesn't care for you, tell you what, if you got enough time, go over there and help them. Say, can I help you? They may give you the worst job in their area, but you know what? Go over and help them if you're trying to win them to the Lord. And we need to pray. Take the time to pray. That's what God's saying here. Pray. Pray. Love. Bless them. Do good. And pray for your enemies. That means God wants you to take a little bit of your time. He went to the cross for you. At least you could do is take your time for the enemies that we come across. Three reasons to love your enemies. First of all, number one, love is the mark of maturity. Verse 48 in our reading. Two, love is Christ-like. And number three, love is a testimony to all who are around you. Everybody sees you in how you walk. They see you how you treat people that don't like you. They see how you act under duress. God expects us to live on a higher plane than the lost. And brothers and sisters, let us return good for the evil that is done for us. For God's glory, love your enemies. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I ask, Lord, that I conveyed this word in the proper way, that we will look at people, dear Heavenly Father, as lost souls, but Lord, not just people we think we can reach, but our enemies as well. You care about everyone. You died for everyone. You died for the whole world. Help us to have your love, that perfect love, that steadfast love, that love that never ends. And help us, dear Heavenly Father, when we come across our enemies, to show Christ to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.